We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Free is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want a simple, hassle-free way to enjoy nicotine without smoke, vapor, or the smell. Everything about Free is engineered for ease. Fast flavor, fast effect, and fast delivery straight to your door. The strength range goes from 3 milligrams all the way up to 15 milligrams. So whether you're looking for something on the lighter side or you want maximum strength, they've got you covered. Flavors, mint, wintergreen, watermelon, which is new, plus lush, sweet, and original. Enough variety that picking a flavor feels like picking a mood. Available in single tins, mega packs, and bundles for those who like to commit. The pouches come pre-primed, so flavor and effect hit instantly. No waiting around. They're soft, flexible, sit comfortably, and the whole setup is discreet. Compact tins, zero smoke, zero vapor, perfect for meetings, commutes, or just getting through the day. You can get your instant delivery straight to your door or pick them up whenever you normally get your nicotine. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com. That's F-R-E pouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, F-R-E pouch.com, and use promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. F-R-E, free. Strength you can count on. Did somebody give you a really great gift last year? Is there a new person in your family or friend group that you want to impress? Does someone in your life deserve an extra special gift this year? Well, that's where Aura Frames comes in. And let me tell you, this is the number one rated gift for a reason. Here's what makes Aura so perfect. You get the frame, and then you can flip those digital assets over all year long. Download the Aura app, connect to Wi-Fi, and then you can add photos from anywhere, anytime. Unlimited photos and videos. Share effortlessly straight from your phone all year long. The frame arrives preloaded in a premium gift box with no price tag. Don't wait. The holidays are now with Aura Frames. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off their best-selling Carver Matte Frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using promo code ZABE at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com. Promo code ZABE. This deal is exclusive to listeners and frames sell out fast. So order yours now to get in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. This is the ZABE cast from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Normally on a Monday, Andy and I would have talked hours earlier. In fact, during the summer months, Andy and I have our conversations on Sunday mornings, and it's easy, like Sunday morning. During football, though, I always have to wait because you never know what shit's going to come down. And today was, again, no exception. Andy, I apologize for dragging you away from football night in America and the Sunday night finale, but anything I would have said or led with probably would have been rendered, yeah, who cares? Did you see that Patrick Mahomes blew his knee out and the Chiefs are out of the playoffs? And we're going to have neither Brady, Manning, or Mahomes in the Super Bowl for the first time since, care to guess what year?
Wow. Well, Brady won his first one in 2002.
Not Super Bowl. I should amend that. Not in the playoffs. Yes. No Manning, Brady, or Mahomes in the playoffs since.
Well, I know that Brady blew out his knee in 2008. Is it that long ago? Or
Manning? No, it's longer. 98 was the number. 98. Wow. So that was 98. Elway. Elway's last ride back in 98. But somehow I think, Andy, the NFL is going to be just fine. Even though it is a TV show about quarterbacks, and even though they're running out of quarterbacks, as witnessed by the Philip Rivers experiment, which we'll talk about here, and it was shockingly not awful, it's still going to be just fine. There are still other quarterbacks of note.
Sunday was.
Holy shit.
The NBA loses stars. It takes a hit. The NFL, you know, I think Elway, Marino, Montana, they all retired like within like a 5-year period and nobody cared. I mean, they had other players step in.
So I was late getting to the broadcast studio tonight because I was A, watching Sean Payton do everything in his power to keep the Packers still alive in that game.
Yeah.
After having not just one, but two turnovers that you would have thought would have sealed the game. Somehow they figured out a way to give the ball back a third time to LaFleur and Jordan Love. And then I was late because we ate dinner, my wife and daughters, in the 5-hour Energy Dome while watching the end of the Packer game. And Megan would much rather talk to Dad about, you know, football, which she's not a big fan of, than go back to doing her work for school as a teacher of high school Spanish at Westfields High. So she was lingering and asking me question after question. And as a dad, Andy, who doesn't like to dad-splain sports?
Well, but my kids are pretty well-versed in it. But, she must really want to avoid the Spanish work if she's having to slog through a conversation with you about football.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I was doing a lot of dad-splaining. I was dad-splaining the Philip Rivers thing because they couldn't believe it. I point to the TV on the right. I go, see that guy's 17? They're like, yeah. And, you know, my wife and daughters, they're totally not into sports, so they didn't know. I go, yeah, he was on his couch 5 days ago. Right. They're like, what? Yeah. I go, yeah, he's a grandfather. He's 45. And then I had to explain he's got 10 kids.
And then
I had to explain that, you know, he was coaching high school football up till a week ago. And, you know, my daughter Megan, being a sharp gal, said, well, what happened to the rest of their quarterbacks? I go, funny you should ask. Said the guy that they drafted really high, they thought he was going to be the franchise. Oh, he fractured his eye socket warming up with a big exercise band back in August. And he's still not ready. Oh, okay. What about the other guy? I go, well, they were playing him even though they knew he had a fractured tibia. And they hoped it wouldn't get worse, but then he blew out his Achilles on the next game. And she's like, whoops. And she's like, well, what about the third stringer? I go, he got hurt as well. And she is, my daughter is laughing her ass off, going, what the hell? She's asking good questions. Like, so is this a year in which more people are getting injured than normal?
Bigger names are. Yeah, well, that's for sure.
And that's the thing. I said, it's really hard to quantify because, you know, what guys matter? If a guy who gets 10 snaps a game blows out his Achilles, nobody gives a shit, right?
Roadkill, yeah.
Right, roadkill. Just, it's another body into the machine, into the maw of the sport that just chews people up. But if it's a star player like Mahomes, because they saw the update about Mahomes was out for the year, and they saw me visibly crushed when Micah Parsons came up lame, and it's like, yeah. And then every internet doctor, every Dr. Chow Chow out there is like, oh, yeah, that's an ACL. You can see by the way his shin moves. And it's like, fuck. So the Packers lose the game. They lose Micah Parsons. They lose Christian Watson again for the year, this time with probably a fractured clavicle. He had been lost last year in a meaningless game in week 17 to the Bears when he shouldn't have been playing to an ACL that he came back from in less than a year and was fantastic at doing so. They lost Quay Walker. They had lost Devontae Wyatt the week before. It's just one after another after another. And then to make it worse, had they won the game against the Broncos, they'd be sitting as the one seed in the NFC because they lost And because the Rams and the Niners won, they plummeted down to 7. And now they're hanging on to the last rung of the ladder.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because it doesn't really matter for the league who is in the playoffs, this is not going to be a concern. But it's a 17-game schedule that's going to go to 18, and they're going to have more international games. We now always have Thursday games. If Christmas winds up on a Wednesday or a Tuesday, you know they're going to play it. They don't care, and it's a meat grinder, like you say, and they're immune from losing stars. So while we pour one out for Mahomes and you pour one out, you know, for a couple of other stars, Micah Parsons, the league goes on. It goes on without them.
It does, and that's the brutality of it. And I think, you know, the debate obviously amongst Packer fans will be, well, was two number ones worth it for Parsons? Because you would assume he'll be out almost all next year.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Even though Watson came back in under a year.
Yeah.
Wide receiver. I mean, Parsons is putting so much load on his legs because he's got so much bend, as they say in football speak, to be able to get around, offensive tackles. You just got to bank on a year. So let's say that they don't even make the playoffs this year. And then Parsons is out next year. Was it worth it?
Well, you've got to pull the trigger when you pull the trigger. And that's, you know, that comes along with the game. But Sam Cosmi had a pretty brutal knee injury in the Detroit playoff game in January of last year, missed 6 games this year.
Right. So, for the Commanders.
But that's a guard different than a linebacker for sure.
Yeah. But I would argue that it further points to my constant beating on these coaches. Don't play guys a minute more than is necessary. And I know you don't agree with that in all circumstances, which brings us to the question of Jaden Daniels, who did not play today in the Commanders' win over the hapless 2-win Giants with their way in over his head coach. This guy, Kafka, did you see the clip that went viral of him using unnecessary F-bombs in the team meeting room?
After the game? I didn't see that, no.
No, no, no. Before, like during the week. He's like, all right, this is who we're going to be. This is who we're fucking going to be, okay? And it's going to be fucking hard, but you know what? We got the fucking, we got the fortitude to do it. It was one of these guys that used the F word every other word. And you're like, okay, buddy, we got it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's assistant coach moving up, you know. When I was in Texas, the sports writers used to call there was high school level, but they used to call the assistant coaches nut scratchers. And they were like, and he said, and they would call each other coach. Well, what do you think, coach? Gee, I don't know, coach. And so here's one of those guys who is a nut scratcher who moves up to be head coach, and he thinks he's got to act like a head coach, dropping a bunch of F-bombs.
Right. So anyway, about the Commander game, I'm not sure what any fan can take out of it. They scored 0 last week, 29 this week, but against an interim coach, rookie QB, Jackson Dart, who got diagnosed with another concussion. Jackson Dart has now been diagnosed with a concussion in 50% of his pro games so far.
Yeah, I'm watching this game, and actually the drive where he went out in the blue tent and they had to bring in Jameis Winston, if he stays on that drive and they score a touchdown there, the complexion of the game changes.
Right.
And it was just and even when he made the run, forget who the color guy was doing the game, what is he doing there? You know, what's he thinking? And these are two good quarterbacks now, Dart and Daniels. And you'd think that if, you know, they knew what they were doing in terms of staying healthy, we'd see these guys play every year for about 10 years. But, you know, the way that they're handling themselves, they may not last that long. Daniels didn't play at all. And Dart, as you say, suffered another concussion.
Jonathan Vilma was doing the game with Kenny.
He's pretty good.
So, you got an interim coach on their team, rookie quarterback who gets concussed again, your backup in Mariota, dumb fumbles, dumb picks both ways, missed field goals. A win does feel better, but it hurts your draft pick. I don't know what to say about the game. Do you know what to say about the game?
No. If Dan Quinn, though, lost out because that stopped, what, a 9-game losing streak?
Yes.
8 games. If they'd have finished the year at 3-14, I guess,
yeah,
the Heat would have been a little higher. Now,
suddenly Andy has found his thermostat, ladies and gentlemen, after he ridiculed me and others who even brought up the possibility he could be fired.
No, he wouldn't be fired at the end of this year.
But what you I'm said the Heat.
The Heat would be turned up as he went into next year. Oh. This releases some of that.
Okay.
So, but yeah, for next year, if he has another season like this one, he's gone. And he knows it. You know, that's the reality of the league.
Don't you think it was dumb for the Giants to fire Daboll anyway midseason? Like, these midseason firings in the NFL,
they never work out.
Yeah. It's always an emotional reaction of, oh, people are really mad. The football team is not footballing well. What can we do? We're already 8 games into the year. Well, we could fire the coach. That would feel good.
Well, how about the stupidest one remains, Dan Snyder getting rid of Norv Turner with 3 games to go
Wasn't that seven and six record? Yeah, at the time.
7-6. They're in the playoff hunt, and he fires the coach, figuring that they're going to play harder for the assistant coach. Yeah, usually when the coach gets fired, that's a sign that the towel has been thrown in for the season.
Yeah. So, you know, there was some good plays in there. McLaurin had a nice touchdown catch. Yeah. I think this guy, Bill, fumbles too much.
Yeah.
Now he lost, not only lost a fumble late, but he also had a ball hit the ground.
No, he didn't fumble. That was Jeremy
McNichol.
McNichol's fumble. Yeah. He didn't fumble, but he actually had a pretty good game. He's had fumbles, and he was the one that fumbled on the handoff in the Chicago game that was the Mrs. O'Leary's cow of this whole losing streak.
So the question then is, do you want to play Jaden Daniels in the last 3 weeks of the year with a Cowboys-Eagle sandwich? So Eagles-Cowboys-Eagles to finish out the year.
You know what may depend on it for the entire organization? Because I think there's internal discussion about this, and it's been a crazy series of developments going back to last Sunday. But I think Laremy Tunsil's health may play into this. You know, Tunsil came back in the game and then went out again with what they're calling an oblique injury. If he's out for the year, they may not want to put Jaden Daniels back on the field. So that may have a lot to do with it. But he goes out of the Minnesota game, and Dan Quinn says after, oh, he was cleared, he could have gone back in, I chose to keep him out. He talks to the media on Monday. He goes, yep, no structural damage. We're going to work through the week and see how he progresses and get him ready to go. And then on Wednesday, he comes to the meeting and goes, oh, yeah, he re-injured his elbow. No structural damage, but, did some damage to it. And so he's going to sit out this week. So I think they're going back and forth on this. They don't really know what to do at this point.
Shouldn't that trouble you as a Commander fan that they don't have a clear, direct, this is what we're doing, that they're actually waffling like this, that the coach is giving mixed signals? I don't like that part of it. Get your story straight, get a fucking plan, and stick with the plan. Either way, I'm fine with it. You want to play him, saying he needs to play and develop? Fine. And by the way, I also disagree with the notion of, well, if Tunsil's out, we can't play him. You're implying then that he can't ever play without his starting left tackle. I know this league does not afford that luxury. Figure it out, buddy.
These are meaningless games. I'm saying if you're going to play him, you want to make the worst thing that happens is, and I don't think this keeps him from playing, but the worst thing that happens is he has an injury that requires surgery in the offseason. So if you're going to play him, you're going to hope that he stays healthy and continues to develop. But you know, if you don't have you gave up a lot to get Tunsil. They gave up draft picks. Looks like they want to re-sign him, give him a lot of money, but. You know, do you want to throw Jaden Daniels out there without his best blocker?
Yeah. Here's my prediction. With what happened today, Jaden Daniels is not playing the rest of the year. They will find a way to say he is unavailable for the rest of the year. I believe today had to have spooked the shit out of the Commanders and the owner and the coaching staff. We'll see if I'm wrong.
Because of Jackson Dart?
No, because of Parsons and Mahomes.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Okay. That's what it is. It's, you know, it's sort of like you never think something's going to happen to you until it happens to your neighbor. And there's no logic to that.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh shit. Like, for example, I have a Tesla, but I don't have a home charger for it. So I plug it into the wall outlet, which is fine. And I've been getting this error message that says, well, there's an unexpected voltage drop. You should check the wiring. It's going to charge it even slower than it would normally. But I inspected it and I'm like, I don't see any heat. There's no burn marks. It looks fine. I'm just going to keep rolling with it. And then the day after Christmas, my brother said, here's a picture of my neighbor's house. It had burned to the ground because of their electric car charger. I suddenly stopped charging my car in the garage because I'm like, holy shit, I don't want that to happen to me and my family. Sure. But now I'm back to charging again because the visceral impact of it being so close has made me, you know, stop for a second. I think that's going to happen with Jaden Daniels. Oh, by the way.
Well, I mean, Parsons and Mahomes aren't the first star players to tear out ACLs.
I know, but it's all about the psychology. Because robots are not making decisions on whether guys play or not, it's human beings with a lot of money invested. I got to believe, and if the weather stays this way, if it stays bone-ass cold, do you really want Jaden Daniels? Like, what will carry over from three games in December to next August?
I mean, you only play 17 of them, and the exhibition season is no longer any big part of the picture anymore, so why not?
I understand. I'm asking from a literal X and O standpoint, what carries over across the long ocean voyage that is the off season in the NFL, the long stretch of water between land that we die in August going, are we ever going to land on football land again?
I've never played quarterback in the NFL. This might shock you, so I really don't have a great answer for you there. But, you know, I was thinking, too, about these ACLs. ACL is a term that's probably 30 years old. There were quarterbacks who hurt their knees long before, you know, these and the surgery that was available. So, you know, just wonder how many guys actually suffered these kind of injuries back in the, you know, 60s, you know.
Like, are you 50s. Saying they didn't call it the anterior cruciate ligament back then? No,
I think he hurt his knee, you know.
He just said
put
knee.
Put him in a brace, you know.
Where they didn't bother to actually explain to people what was going on. Now we get these instant analyses based on video only of guys who are not actual NFL team doctors saying, it's probably a partial MCL and an ACL and
Yeah. Well, I mean, whenever you see a guy go down and grab his calf, you go, oh, you know, Achilles. And in the NBA now, when you strain your calf, that's always like the pregame show for the torn ACL, right? The torn Achilles, right? Yeah. That's what's been happening going back to Kevin Durant when he was playing with Golden State.
And apparently Achilles injuries are up statistically. Yeah. This is a identifiable thing. And there's people trying to figure out why is that. And they think it's just because today's athletes are much more finely tuned. You know, they're Ferraris. They go faster, jump higher. They're stronger, contrary to what you believe with your Pistol Pete dreams. And because these are faster cars, they break more often, Andy.
That could be. But also what they found is that kids don't play as much basketball. Like they play some basketball, but then they go to their personal trainer. You know, used to be that you just stayed on the court until your team lost. And then, you know, hopefully you got back on and you got another run.
Right.
And nobody went to the gym. Nobody lifted weights. And, no. You know, maybe that's all playing a factor. I don't know.
All right. Let me run through some scores here with a couple of quick notes here. The Ravens shut out the Bengals 24-0 in a game in Cincinnati where they apparently didn't even shovel the snow off the seats because Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals, is so cheap. This comes at a very bad time, given that Joe Burrow had a very gloomy, dark press conference during the week about, hey, man, I'm not having fun. Why am I doing this?
Right. It was an Andrew Luck type of experience for me. Anyway, that was my first thought.
Yeah.
And I tell you something. I watched the Hard Knocks, or not the Hard Knocks, the quarterback series on Netflix. And he was the one I was most impressed with. I really admire him. And he may be looking to get out. I mean, what has Cincinnati ever done? They did make a Super Bowl with them, but they're known as a very cheap organization. And he got all his wide receivers paid, But the defense is horrendous. And, you know, what are you going to do?
They have finished in the bottom three, like 29, 30, 31, 32, or bottom four in pass rush win rate for O-lines.
Yeah.
So the advanced metrics guys that look at the O-line play, he's had the shittiest O-line since he's been there. And they've only made the playoffs 2 years out of the six he's been there. Part of that is he's gotten hurt. But he got generational money early, and it's been no fun, kind of like Luck. And the old school players, they didn't have generational money. They were still working in the box factory in the offseason. They were still excited about the bonus they got from the Super Bowl, like Joe Theismann, our boy, when he said, while mic'd up for NFL Films, this game is for $70,000 and a big fat ring, right? Was that the quote?
Big effing ring, but yeah,
was that the bonus that they got 70 grand?
Well, what happened, that was the year of the strike, so half the season was knocked out. And as part of the strike settlement, they said, okay, we'll double the money for the Super Bowl. The year before, they only got 35,000, but that was part of the deal. I've told you the story about Joe Jacoby, right? The Jacoby's salary that year, because he was an undrafted free agent, was second year, I think it was $48,000. But because there was a strike that knocked out half the season, he made $24,000. And he wasn't sure whether he was going to be able to afford his rent. And he called his parents, called his father and said he might have to move back home. And then they settled the strike. And so he made $24,000 in salary that year, but $70,000 for winning the Super Bowl. That made his year.
I am sympathetic that Burrow is on a shit franchise with a cheap-ass owner who won't even pay to shovel the seats when it snowed and has a terrible O-line that they can't fix. However, I hate the phrase, if this isn't fun, then what am I even doing it for? I don't like that phrase, Andy. You know why? Because not everything in life is fun. There is something about persevering through hard times that are not fun to get to the fun later, which, look, he's banged up. He needs to recover. But he's too young to even think about retiring, in my opinion. He's too fucking good when he's healthy to think about retiring. And here's another thing I'd like to let Joe Burrow know. The rest of life post-playing in the NFL is boring. There's not enough to do to get your juices going. No amount of gambling, no amount of playing golf, no amount of banging hot chicks is ever going to replace what you're doing right now.
Well, Andrew Luck didn't feel that way. Andrew Luck, went and, ate granola and rode his bike. And now he's the GM of Stanford football. And maybe that's good. If Burrow does that, all credit to him. It is hard to walk away. Steve Young, again, I don't know why ESPN got rid of him. Maybe he doesn't yell loud enough. But his insight into football is so good. And what he says is, when you're playing football, you are the best in the world at what you do. And then when it ends, you're not the best at anything else. You don't know what to do with your life.
That's funny.
He's done great things. I mean, he went to law school and he's wealthy beyond me, belief. He's a hedge fund manager and all that stuff. But what he's telling you is exactly right. And Joe Montana, to this day, is like lost. He doesn't really.
Oh, really? He's just sort of like, what am I doing?
I know you don't like to read lengthy pieces, but if you go back in the archives, Wright Thompson of ESPN. Oh,
Wright Thompson's the best.
Great, great, great piece on Montana a couple of years ago. And he's still bitter about the 49ers casting him off to Kansas City. He's also bitter about Tom Brady winning 7 Super Bowls. He thought if the circumstances were right, he'd have won that many in San Francisco.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Yeah. The Bills rallied to beat the Patriots 35-31. The Patriots were up 21-0 at one point in this game. But the Bills have said, look, we're not going to go away quietly. So this was a massive win for them to forestall what was being called a T-shirt and hat game for the Pats, because they would have gotten the division winners hats and T-shirts with a win.
They're an amazing story anyway, no matter what happens to them.
Who's them? The Bills or the Patriots?
No, the Bills are supposed to be doing what the Bills are doing.
Right, the Patriots.
The Patriots are not.
Yeah, by the way, do you have any Drake May envy as a Commander fan?
No. They got the right quarterback. It's a crap year, but I think he's going to play a long time. I
love Daniels, and I do think they got the better guy when they get him healthy and get targets for him. But if May keeps playing like this, and next year comes and Daniels is also not good, or if he's fragile again and gets hurt, then we're going to have a conversation. Let's put a pin in this for 12 months from now. The Bears demolished the Browns in frigid Soldier Field 31-3, and do not look at the box score for Shedeur Sanders. 18 of 35, 177 yards, no touchdowns, 300 interceptions, sacked 5 times, and a passer rating of 30.3.
He remains a lightning rod, though. There are people who will criticize him, and there are people who won't let you criticize him. So
that was a really bad data point. And for anyone that says, but it was cold. Well, yeah, right. Guess what? You're in Cleveland. You're going to play a ton of games like this. And by the way, you played in Colorado, where it was also cold. Just for the
narrative of they're setting him up to fail is always a go-to on Shedeur. They don't want him to succeed.
So the Bears have a chance with the Lions losing to the Rams and the Packers losing to the Broncos and losing several key players. The Bears host the Packers this week for a possible, not quite kill shot, because it won't be a hat and T-shirt game, but I mean, it'd go a long way to wrapping up the division. That would be something if the Bears, new coach, year two of Caleb Williams, who looked like a bad pick at 1-1, win the division the very next year.
Yeah, and they're also an organization that has been very cheap. Now there's some thought that they're going to sell because the McCaskey family doesn't want to pay the taxes.
Yes,
but that has been an organization, because I get all this from my cousin who's a 40-year season ticket holder,
right?
And he gives me all this stuff about them. So they got the right coach now, obviously, and. Caleb Williams was not a bust last year. He didn't play as we got sacked a whole bunch of times.
He was bad last year.
But it wasn't going to work out. I thought he showed enough flashes that he was going to be pretty good, and now he's trending to be great.
Yeah. And then the Colts-Seahawks game was a lot closer than people thought, including the odds makers. Seahawks were favored by 2 touchdowns. They win on a last-second field goal after the Colts kicked a field goal to go up in that game, 18-16, your final score there. And Phillip Rivers was not terrible. 18 of 27, only 120 yards, so it was a lot of dinking and dunking. Did have a touchdown pass, did have an interception, but was only sacked once. That, to me, Andy, goes down as one of the most remarkable performances in NFL history.
I agree. But, you know, one of the things Phil Sims said this to me many, many years ago. He said, football's really cruel because as soon as you really master the mental part of the game, your body starts to give out. And what we've seen with the rule changes is they protect the quarterbacks more. And Phillip Rivers has always had a fast release. Now, you know, he came out on the field looking like Jared Lorenzen almost, but he manages to play. I mean, they're not out of it now. And he wouldn't it be something if he takes him to the playoffs? I think he can.
Yeah.
He doesn't throw a very good deep ball, but he's accurate and he gets rid of it. So it doesn't take sacks.
It's a great story. I don't think it's going anywhere of note, but I give the Colts a lot of credit for at least bowing up and making this a very competitive game when they probably should have been blown out. But it's another loss for them. They're now 8-6. They started the year 8-1, if I'm not mistaken. So they're on a 5-game slide.
Well, I saw this with the Redskins years ago. 7-1, and they were dancing around. And Darryl Green, who played on Super Bowl team, says, no, we're not that good.
Yeah.
They wound up out of the playoffs. I think they were 9-6 or something like that, or 9-7.
Nobody wanted to hear that from old Darryl Green, beloved Darryl Green. Nobody wants to hear. Like, come on, man, we're 7-1. The season is
youngsters. Wild. Let me tell you something. You're not that good.
Exactly. All right. College front. Your thoughts on the Heisman going to Mendoza of the Hoosiers and his speech, by the way. What a story that a guy who was pretty much a no star, I believe, coming out of high school, and a kid who is, if he continues this trajectory, and a lot of the pro scouts like what they see out of him for Sunday football, just from what I've read and seen, if he becomes a fixture in the NFL, he's going to become the first dork star at quarterback. And I say dork lovingly. To be a dork, Andy, you've got to be enthusiastic beyond belief, humble, nerdy, you know, throw in a little bit of religiously humble as well, team rah-rah, the big smile. Like, Mendoza takes Kirk Cousins and slams it into overdrive on the dork scale. And I think that's a cool thing.
Rivers doesn't curse. You know, that's
but Rivers is like the cool dad. Mendoza is a true dork. Yeah. And I'm with that. I love it in him, by the way.
He played a high level of high school in Miami. That's also part of the picture there.
Okay.
He was in the witness protection program at Cal. Nobody knew who he was. And he goes to Cignetti, who basically is, you know, screw you. I know what I'm doing. Shut up. Google me. And here he is. I was very disappointed in Diego Pavia. Now, I thought he was the most exciting player in college football this year. Sure. I loved watching their games. But for him to put out an Instagram saying, F all the voters, screw him, you know, that really took a dump on the whole thing as far as I'm concerned.
It's terrible. It basically confirmed that, yes, they picked the right guy for the Heisman, not this little mouthy shrimp. This guy is the Hispanic Manziel, just an exciting player in college. People were stunned at how short he looked compared to the rest of the Heisman Trophy finalists. They're like, bro, are you really 5'11? Because I don't know if I see it. And, of course, he had all his brothers there as well. But as one of my boys said, this is what happens when your dad leaves you and your mom's a whore. And I said that's an unfair thing to say about his mom. But, okay, she's a hot mom who dated Theo Vaughn as a part of a bet.
But I just thought that was a really a low-class thing to do. And, of course. And coming from Vanderbilt, my God. I mean, how about that? The 1-2, Indiana Vanderbilt for the Heisman Trophy voting, and the Notre Dame guy who didn't finish in the top two. That's crazy.
Fernando Mendoza was a two-star, not a no-star, but a two-star in the recruiting class of 2022. So there's that. But what a story. And I know that you probably hit record on your DVR, Andy, but 60 Minutes, which I made you miss because of this podcast, did a feature on Indiana.
Yep,
so you're going to go watch that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, my son also texted me to make sure I knew that that was going to be on, as if I wouldn't know I was going to watch 60 Minutes. Oh, you know, I mean,
60 Minutes is a staple in Andy's house.
Oh, yeah. 60 Minutes. I go back to, you know, when it was 1968, I think it was like a Tuesday night show. Right. And eventually made it a Sunday night staple. Yeah.
How about Pat Summerall when he would do the tease on CBS? Yeah.
Murder
coming up. Wrote. 60 Minutes followed by Murder, She Wrote. And he would exaggerate the pause. I think NFL Films once did a little vignette on this saying that he and Madden had a bet, a side bet, about how long he could pause between the murder and She Wrote.
Yeah. No, that's great. I was out of school by then, but I guess there are a lot of kids who watch football at that time and thought, okay, when I hear that promo, I know I got to think about doing my homework now because I got school tomorrow.
Yeah. And then there was, while we're on the negative side of things, I don't think I've talked to you since this all went down, the Sharone Moore story.
Ooh.
Holy shit. And then on top of it, that midwit, Adam Schefter, saying, well, we still have to hear from Sharone's side of things and what his story is. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Well, I think he also added in that he heard people were out to get him. Yeah, that's part of the Schefter be first thing. And yeah, I mean, that was a case where you needed to sit that one out, because when he said that, did he know that Sharone Moore was in jail at that point? I think once it did.
Okay. And I'm like, so, I'm sure he's got a story. It doesn't fucking matter. He's the head coach of one of the top five programs in the country in football. He's a purported leader of men. And he was engaged in fucking his assistant, which is more than just, so he had an affair. I mean, come on, we're going to judge everyone. No. It was an employee, totally out of bounds, and not just frowned upon, but very bad to exploit his position of authority with this woman. He gave her a huge raise, probably to keep her from leaving. And then when she does say, you know what, this is over, he went crazy, broke into her house, and threatened to kill himself with a butter knife. There is no story from Sharone Moore that's going to make you go, oh, I didn't know that.
The raise was supposed to keep her quiet. Then she went to the school and changed her story, because both of them said, no, nothing happened. And then she told what had happened. They fired him. He went home. He said to his wife that he was going to kill himself. Then he left. She tracked his phone to a church. I'm not sure how he went from their house, the girlfriend, to the church, but that's where the police found him. But he flipped out on the girlfriend. He said, because you cost me my career. Well, you cost yourself your career with your stupidity there. And the other thing that I heard from a lot of these college people who, you know, cover college football, oh yeah, this story's been out there for a while. Well, why did they let it get to this point?
It's because it wasn't a story. It was an unprovable thing. The university even had an investigation where they're like, hey, are you fucking this assistant of yours? And they're like, no, come on. We just worked together. And they had no proof of it. So they really couldn't advance it beyond that. And if he was smart, she would have said, look, it's over. And he'd be like, damn, babe, I'm going to miss you, but okay, it's over. Go with God. And then go back to being married and being the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. God, man, women make some men, Andy, go fucking crazy.
But here's the racial element that's going to be entering it, if it hasn't already. Bobby Petrino went through something similar and has made his way back. And
we'll give it time on Sharone Moore. Bobby Petrino did get fired. He was roundly roasted by the media and us in the chatter sphere with that comical neck brace, scarred up face with the bowl hat on his head to remind everyone, hey, you know, and it was fully revealed that it was not a motorcycle accident, that he was fucking this chick that was in the university. I mean, and so the whole racial thing of it, okay, you show me the white guy that threatened to kill the woman who was an assistant of his in the athletic department with a butter knife and broke into his house, her house, that then got a job away.
Like, I'm just saying that when you get to the next step of, do you give these guys second chances? Like Mel Tucker, who was allegedly masturbating while talking to the woman that he hired to talk to his team about sexual harassment. And
is Mel Tucker coaching again?
Not yet, but that's only been a couple of years. You know, is he going to be cycled back?
I would hope they never coach again.
There's
no way you can trust guys like this in a leadership position. That applies to white or black, in my opinion.
Right, but Bobby Petrino got another shot. He did. And that's what's going to, you know.
But you got to be specific about the differences. Wasn't with a direct underling. It was a woman who I think was a physical therapist in the Arkansas University athletic system. So it wasn't somebody who reported. Well, hold on. It matters. It wasn't somebody who reported to him. And then he didn't threaten to kill himself in front of her while breaking in. And I don't think he lied about it to the university. That's another element where you're like, okay. But, I mean, look at all, like 11 coaches have either been arrested or dismissed and have show cause against them from Michigan. I would argue that the net of Jim Harbaugh's reign at Michigan rivals or exceeds that of Urban Meyer at Florida, just with a little bit less winning, because they only won one national championship.
That's the key. And Urban had more guys arrested too.
True.
And ultimately he had a guy who killed himself in jail after being convicted of murder, not with Florida, but Aaron Hernandez when he was with the Patriots. Urban Meyer, but every time there's an open job, whose name comes up first? Oh, you think Urban Meyer's interested in that? Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I know. No. Because college athletics, especially college football, big-time college football, is the most amoral, absurd enterprise ever. Like absolute psychopaths, scumbags, running around, running the sport. There is just no compass, no moral compass to the whole thing. By the way, somebody had a great tweet. They said, okay, pretend you went into a coma, God forbid, in August of this summer. And you just woke up and you're a huge college football fan and your friend is bedside going, okay, oh my God, you're awake. That's great. I got to catch you up on some things. Okay. Brian Kelly is out at LSU. What? Lane Kiffin is out at Ole Miss. What? Oh, but they're in the college football playoff because they're 13-1 or 12-1 or whatever their number is. Meanwhile, James Franklin is at Virginia Tech already. What? And Sharon Moore is in jail.
And
Indiana is 13-0. They're number one in the playoff, and their kid won the Heisman at quarterback, Mendoza.
Right,
back into a coma.
And if Oklahoma beats Alabama in the playoff and Kalen DeBoer goes to Michigan, would you rule out that old Mr. Hopscotch winds up back at Alabama?
Yeah, you know? That's a good one. I did see where potentially Kenny Dillingham of ASU could be Michigan's target. So
okay, well that would be a nice calm hire, but I root for chaos.
Yeah, well, hey, if you're rooting for chaos in college football, just sit around a while. It's coming. Happened this year, like I don't even think this year was an outlier in terms of holy shit, I can't believe that happened.
Right.
Let's see if we can predict next August some of the crazy shit that may happen.
Of course, that's the game.
One more real quick on your boy Schefter. I know you're still Schefter positive. I'm going to try to nudge you off to the side on him. First of all, he was the guy when he voted for the Denver Broncos for the Hall of Fame and didn't think that Art Monk was that good, saying, what's his signature catch? That was the first hint that I had that this guy was a midwit. Midwits being smart enough to swim in intelligent waters, but the slowest, dumbest fish out there. Then remember when Dwayne Haskins was run over by a truck and died, and his initial tweet was, Dwayne Haskins, who struggled to make it as a pro, was run over by a truck, and then he had to delete the tweet and apologize. Remember when he sent the Bruce Allen email saying, I need some fact-checking, Mr. Editor, sparking journalistic ethics concerns?
Yeah. He also was the news dump from Mike Shanahan when he would dub things on him on Sunday morning. But Shanahan was working in such a cesspool at the time. It was actually good to see that stuff come out on Sunday morning.
And I believe Schefter also somehow illegally obtained medical records.
Yeah.
From Jason Pierre-Paul, which is bulldog journalism, but is very fucking shitty, if you ask.
Yeah, he snuck into the emergency room or something like that. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
With a lab coat. Dr. Rosen, yeah. Rosen. Now, where the hell's the records room? I need the records on JPP. All right.
Dr. Fine.
Yeah. Let's end on a positive note. Army Navy, once again, did not disappoint, not just with a thrilling finish. Heartbreaking loss for Navy, but also just the pageantry and to see those young men and women in those impossibly impeccable uniforms and their earnest faces and how high achieving and how much they sacrifice just to get into the academies and then to study and also play football. And they're going to go fight wars for this country. It does inspire you.
No, it was, I've been to three of them. They're fabulous events. And you know what's really best about the telecast? I mean, the game is great and everything, but the intro to the game.
Yeah, they did a 3-minute intro that was amazing again this year.
Every year. And sometimes these intros that they do are too long and too tedious. These are long, but they always make me cry. This was another one that was great this year.
It was like a 3-minute cinematic movie, it was so beautifully shot. They wove into it, you know, certain kind of recreated scenes with the genuine news footage. One of the, I believe, midshipmen saved a guy from a burning car.
Yep.
They had actual news footage of that. I just, the one phrase that always comes to mind, and I've been to several of these with you as part of the Jimmy Shapiro Radio Row thing. Where do they find these young men and women? I don't know, but I'm so proud that they're out there and they want to do this. And then the kids play football, and it's not shit football anymore. These programs, they knock people off. They knock some of the big programs off with their way of play. They have
loosened the rules a little bit so that if you're good enough to play in the NFL, they'll let you do it. That may have helped them a little bit in who they get, but in the NIL era, you know, they're not getting that, and they're having to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and clean toilets.
Yes.
Which I don't think is happening under the Lane Kiffin watch at LSU. So, we all know people, you know, growing up who are kind of like that, you know, just a little bit different than everybody else. And I guess they find the ones. They also probably tap into a lot of military families too. Like a lot of times it's generational military.
Oh, yeah, their legacies. My dad, my grandfather. And there was also that legacy element with one of the stories in the 3-minute open, which will also break your heart and make you cry, but make you very proud in and of itself. So, yeah. So the game next year is in Jersey. It's back in Philly after that. There's actually talk of them taking it to Atlanta in 2028. And I'm like, boo. It does not belong there.
They played at the Rose Bowl one year. The way they do it now as the standalone is good, but they did it on Thanksgiving weekend on a Friday that year. So, whatever.
I would be against it leaving anywhere other than the Northeast Corridor, where it's going to be cold and gray and befitting of military men battling
on the football field. If you have it in Philly, it's right in between the two schools. But if you do it in another, you know, Baltimore or New Jersey, that's good too. But yeah, schlepping it down to Atlanta doesn't make a lot of sense. And it's indoors too. Shouldn't be indoors.
Amen to that. Andy, I've kept you long enough. I appreciate your time as always, my friend. And go enjoy the Cowboy game tonight against the – who are they playing tonight again?
I don't know. I'm going to watch the Indiana thing.
Oh, that's great. You watch the Indiana and then call tonight and go to bed?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Come on, Andy. Cowboys Vikings, 7-0 right now as we tape this. Excited.
Great.
Yay, football. All right, Andy. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, my friend.
All right, Zach. Take care.
that'll do it for me tonight. Thank you so much for listening. As always, download, subscribe, sign up for the Zabecast Premium and support this channel. $5 a month. I know everyone's got subscriptions. They're trying to pare things down at the end of the year. I do appreciate everybody who subscribes. It helps me get by as I am currently between jobs. I hope there'll be another job coming soon these days. But either way, I appreciate everybody who listens. Tell a friend, rate and review to tickle the algorithmic overlords, and we will see you next time. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.